Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. I am Carrie Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we're now switching gears to talk with writer and director of the new documentary, Guadalupe, The Miracle and the Message, David Nalieri. We are so glad to have you on the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Appreciate it.
Now, as we mentioned, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe is on December 12th. I wonder if, and I think probably 99% of Catholics are pretty familiar with the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, but perhaps there are a few who are not. I wonder if you can just kind of give us a little brief overview of the devotion.
Sure, yeah. Well, in the 16th century, in 1519, Mexico was conquered, the Aztec Empire conquered by Cortez. And at that time, the Franciscan missionaries were having a very difficult time converting the native peoples. And there was about 23 million natives and only a handful of Franciscan missionaries. And in 1531, a recent convert named Juan Diego was walking along a hillside, and he had an apparition of the Virgin Mary. And there were several of them over a few-day period. And that winds up being this transformative event for the entire continent, because the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which becomes imprinted on Juan Diego's tilma in the course of these apparitions, still exists today at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And within the decade after that apparition, we see the conversion of about 9 million natives. And one of the points we like to make in our film is at that time in history, New Spain really comprised the entire continent. So it's not just a part of Mexico's legacy and their heritage. It's also a part of our heritage as Catholics across the continent.
It's extraordinary. It's like the entire population of Massachusetts converting to Christianity in that short a period.
Yeah, it was an incredible event, one of the greatest conversions to the Christian faith in history. And one of the things we delve into the film is that the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the tilma, is actually a codex. The Aztecs would oftentimes use these pictorial manuscripts to kind of pass on their culture and their heritage. So within the actual image of Our Lady of Guadalupe are a lot of symbols that allowed the natives to kind of learn their Christian faith and understand that she was pregnant, that she was carrying a deity within her, that she was a virgin because the hair is long, and in their culture, that was a symbol of virginity. So the image has a lot of mysteries, and we kind of, in the film, tried to delve into that and give a more of an explanation of why it had such a transformative impact.
Now, this devotion has been around for some time. I wonder why now, this year, why have you chosen to kind of devote this film to it?
Well, the film was produced by the Knights of Columbus, and I'm proud to be a knight and work directly with the Knights. Part of what we've tried to do is really spread the message of Our Lady of Guadalupe as a source of unity. John Paul II, in his landmark document, Ecclesia in America, 1999, talked about Our Lady of Guadalupe as this mother, this patroness for the entire continent. And he saw America united as one. And we live in a world with a lot of divisions, and we want to promote Our Lady of Guadalupe as the source of unity, and to kind of dispel some of the misconceptions that it's a particularly Mexican phenomenon, that it's something special to just the Mexican church. And in the film, we speak to Canadians. We travel to Wisconsin, the beautiful shrine in La Crosse, which is founded by Anglo-Catholics. We go to the Philippines and show the great devotion in the Philippines to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So it's really this an international phenomenon, and she's really the mother of all of us. And one of the neat things about the apparition of Guadalupe is some of the other apparitions, Fatima and others, she comes sometimes with something of a stern message, a warning, turn back from sin. In Guadalupe, her message is very simple: I'm your mother. And it's very comforting to people.
Well, that's a very important message for our time, isn't it? It hadn't really occurred to me until you said it, but I mean, Our Lady of Guadalupe really is patroness of the Americas, right? That's all of the Americas. I mean, here in the United States, we tend to think of America as the United States or as a magazine.
Right, exactly.
but she's actually patroness of all of the Americas. And what a lovely idea that that Our Lady would unite us across these contentious borders and different socioeconomic and political situations. And that I'm just very taken with that.
Yeah, it, I think it's
I can see exactly why you'd be talking about this right now.
Absolutely. I think that was one thing that came across. And the other thing that, struck me doing the research is the whole idea of changing a culture, transforming a culture. And one of the notes we explore in the film, and any of you, your listeners interested, can go to GuadalupeTheFilm.com, our website. We've been airing on ABC the past couple months through a partnership with them. And this Sunday, the feast day, we'll have airings on EWTN, Catholic TV, and others. So all that broadcast information is on our website. But the whole idea of transforming a culture, as you know, Aztecs had this idea of human sacrifice that in order for the sun to rise every day, for the cycle of life to continue, it necessitated the sacrifice of millions of people. And the apparition happens in 1531. Less than 15 years later, one of the worst droughts in the history of Mexico takes place. And typically, the Aztecs would do a mass sacrifice of young children in an effort to bring the rains. And instead, in 1544, we have historical records of a mass pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So just a short 13-year period, we see a dramatic transformation, an end of human sacrifices, and a strong devotion to Guadalupe. And I think that's inspirational to Catholics in our contemporary world about trying to transform a culture, bring a culture of life about.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a number of images of this tilma, of this this robe of Juan Diego with the image of Our Lady on it. And the actual tilma, the material, the image has been studied by scientists, by historians, archaeologists, all sorts of people. And you talk about this in the film a little bit because some people say, well, maybe this was painted on there. Maybe this is a hoax. Maybe this, maybe Juan Diego didn't exist. You know, there's a lot of questions around that. I wonder how you went about addressing that in the film and how you were able to kind of research that.
Yeah, that's a great question. It was something we wanted to definitely focus on. And it goes to one of the kind of goals we had in this film. We really wanted this to be very high quality, something viewers would be accustomed to seeing on Nat Geo or Discovery Channel. So we invested a lot in high-level visual effects, 3D animations, to explore deep into the image, to get an understanding of these real mysteries that exist there. So typically, if you were going to try to paint on a canvas, you need a preparation base, and that's missing. So there's no explanation as to how those colors the image has remain on that tilma, which is made out of agave fibers, which typically will only last about 20 years, and it's still around 500 years from now. So we talked to a lot of technical experts, scientists, who delve into how these there's really no explanation. Furthermore, the colors in the image, in order to stay on there, even if there was a preparation base, which is not, would need some kind of varnish, and there's no varnish on it. So there's some real substantive mysteries that scientists cannot explain about the image.
And why is there this question about the historical figure of Juan Diego?
I think because it occurred so long ago, because there are scant records, maybe there's some questioning. I think one of the great benefits of having the canonization of Juan Diego, which happened in 2002, as part of that process, there was a lot of historical examination about his existence. And one of the neat things in our film is we interviewed Miguel León Portilla, who's the most famous historian of Mexico, and by no means an ardent Catholic or somebody who has a vested interest. And he declares authoritatively that his research, the foremost expert in Nahuatl culture, the language of the Aztec people, is that for sure he did exist. And there were a lot of research done in writings in the 17th century where they had evidence that Juan Diego existed. So there's been some questions made, but I think you can make a very strong and certain case that he was a historical figure.
Yeah, I think you can too. But, you know, that canard sometimes perdures,
right? Sure.
It still continues to exist. But
sure.
I mean, quite apart from that evidence, which was considered during the canonization, which I found compelling, it seems to me, how do you actually account for that phenomenon in that decade after the apparition, if it didn't occur, or he wasn't a historical figure, right? In some ways, it's like the story of the early church. How do you account for the spread of Christianity across all of the Roman Empire in such a rapid and deep movement, unless these things actually happened, the things that these apostles were testifying to occurred?
Yeah, absolutely. And the evidence is there for this dramatic transformation of the people, the Aztec peoples, and the kind of this indelible imprint the Guadalupe experience had on the people of Mexico, becoming kind of a national symbol for the country. And we see that continue. We kind of traced it in the film to the contemporary day. And it was interesting also to note all these efforts by some forces to kind of get rid of the Guadalupe image in Mexico in the early part of the 20th century. There were a lot of efforts to restrict the church, and so some government agents actually planted a bomb underneath the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. This is in 1921. It shatters all the glass for blocks all around the shrine area, wow. Destroys the tabernacle, destroys the altar, but the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe remains untouched. And that was just one of the many extraordinary aspects of the story that we tried to bring to life in the film.
Right. And when you talk about this idea of pilgrimage based on devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, as you mentioned, you can see that today still, and people coming, walking miles on their knees to the shrine. I was in Mexico City several years ago to the shrine and saw, so it was just before the feast day, and you could see people going along the road. I mean, the devotion that this moves people to is incredible.
Yeah, that to me was the biggest takeaway, exactly what you experienced, Carrie. Had the chance to go three times for the series of interviews and the other filming of the documentary, and every time you go to the shrine, the devotion of the people, the intensity, the spiritual devotion on their faces as they gaze into that image, the walking on their knees, they'll come from all over Mexico or Latin America, and when they get, you know, within 300 yards or so of the shrine, they'll go to their knees and proceed there. It's quite striking. And several of the people we interviewed, Archbishop Chaput and others, went maybe as young seminaries or young priests, and that really impacted them, seeing that level of devotion, and it changed in some ways their relationship with Mary as well.
Did it change you at all? Did you have a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe
going into this project? Yeah, that's a good question, because I grew up, obviously I'm Italian-American. In my particular family growing up, I did not have a strong devotion to Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. So this experience really opened my eyes to the power of faith as well, and how God has an answer for us. As someone who loves history, delving into that period of the 1520s, when the Franciscan missionaries faced so many incredible obstacles to try to convert the masses, including the fact that the Christians that were there were not a very good example. The Spanish leaders of the Audiencia were raping and pillaging and murdering and enslaving the natives, and that was their example of Christianity. So the notion that a half dozen priests could try to lead these people to faith was hard to imagine. And then in 1531, God delivers an answer in Our Lady of Guadalupe. So her message of hope and reconciliation and unity, and the idea of God having an answer for a civilization, is very inspiring to me.
Right. Well, it must be very satisfying to see the project through to completion and now airing during this special month with the feast day on December 12th.
That's right, yes. And the website's GuadalupeTheFilm.com. We have a number of airings this Saturday, the feast day, EWTN and Catholic TV and others in Canada. Salt and Light Television will be airing it, and the DVD's for sale as well. And I'll just note that the film was also narrated by Jim Caviezel, who was a great fit.
Oh, yeah.
He has a strong Marian devotion. He's been to the Shrine of Guadalupe, and he was excited about being part of
the project. He who starred in The Passion of the Christ.
That's right.
Yep.
And
oh, person
of interest, too. Yes.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And we encourage all of our listeners to take a look. It's called Guadalupe, the Miracle and the Message. David Nalieri, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And our thanks to our friends at the Knights of Columbus for making the project possible. It's a great thing to be talking about. That's about it for America This Week this week. Of course, you can follow up on all of the stories we talked about today at americamagazine.org. Where you can follow us on Twitter, and you can follow us on Facebook, and our continuing coverage of this Advent season and the Jubilee Year of Mercy. And to subscribe to America, you call 800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533. Subscription to America Magazine makes a great Christmas gift, does it not?
Everyone in my family will get one.
Or an Advent gift. So for Carrie Weber, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you, and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.